Happy Thursday, everyone. On the Ira Kaufman Podcast, we're back again live from One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, flying solo today with the custodian himself, Ira Kaufman. And gosh, Ira, your podcast, your quality podcast, of course, is delivered by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. During our season's best event, find the Cadillac that's best suited for you, like the spacious and stylish 2017 XT5. This bold-looking crossover seamlessly combines beauty and functionality, and it's yours for $369 with zero due sign and drive. All the details, edmorescadillactampa.com. Of course, you can visit edmorescadillacbrandon.com as well for all the information and to start your car buying search. Now, Ira.
Yes, sir.
Here we are. Now, I know that we missed Tuesday's podcast. It was a rare miss. I know that you had six cities on your tour. You were traveling the country, working with the Trump campaign.
Tuesday was my anniversary, Isbit. So where was my happy anniversary? Then well, I came home and I made a mistake. I turned the TV on and watched the election results.
I'm just teasing. You weren't traveling the globe.
I understand.
With Trump. You were celebrating how many years with the lovely Mrs. Kaufman?
A big 35. It was big a big one.
Wow.
It was a big one.
Wow, 35.
You know, the Bucks have been around 40 years, so I'm 5 years in arrears of the Bucks. And I dare say it's been a much more successful marriage than a franchise to this point.
Excellent. So you're saying you're 34-1 is what you're saying versus
no, but I ain't 0-4 at home either. I just want you to know that.
I'm sure you're always bringing home a victory where it counts. All right. Now, here we are on the podcast, Ira. State of the Buccaneers. We're going to first let's hit on Doug Martin. Okay, 3-5, halfway point. Martin left the game in Arizona with a hamstring pull. It's obviously was a very serious injury. He had a setback. Now he's practicing. We don't get to watch all of practice. He's out there today looking pretty in his underwear football. What do you think the situation is here, and what do you expect Sunday for Martin if he does play and then going forward?
I think, Steve, if he hadn't had a relapse some weeks back, if he hadn't had that, I don't think there'd be any doubt that Doug Martin would be playing against the Bears on Sunday afternoon. Having had that relapse, and I think you and I understand, the Bucs are going to proceed with caution. Hamstrings, you can't fool around with, Steve. I've been lucky, I don't know about you, I've never had a serious hamstring pull, but I know, you don't come back after a week and a half. So that relapse is very much in the minds of the Bucs. Look, Doug Martin just signed a big contract. They want him here for 3 or 4 years to be very productive. What was the main reason, Steve, that the Bucs gained 6,000 yards last year and had the number 5 offense? Because Doug Martin had a fantastic season, backed by Charles Sims, with a rookie quarterback, and they still had the 5th-ranked offense in the league.
Yeah, he was the MVP, hands down, team MVP.
Pro Bowl player, made the first guy miss every Sunday, first defender, misses him. Gets into the second level and doesn't have breathtaking speed, but he cracked a lot of 20-yard runs all season long. And he made the play action work for Jameis Winston. Well, what's happened this year? With the rare exception of a couple of games by Jacquizz Rodgers, while Martin's been out, they've had a dismal running game. Nothing. You see what the Cowboys can do with a powerful running game, Steve. That powers their 7-1 start without any question. And takes a lot of pressure off a young quarterback. The Bucs don't have that. Martin is a difference maker, Steve, when he's healthy and when he's playing well, and we'll see what happens.
Well, a couple of questions there, Ira. First, you talked to Doug Martin today at One Buck Palace, where we are. What did he say?
He said he hopes to play. It's been very frustrating watching his brethren go down one after the other in the backfield. He said the relapse from a few weeks ago was, quote, devastating to him. He thought he was ready to go, and it didn't work out. He went backwards. Maybe pushed a little too far. Again, that goes into the Buck mindset vis-a-vis this game coming up on Sunday. Don't push it. Is he healthy enough to play, or he isn't healthy enough to play, and we're not going to take any chances?
Well, and that brings me to this strain.
So for you fantasy leaguers out there, hold off a little bit on Doug Martin. It's not definite that he's playing Sunday.
Well, and that's the point I was going to go to, Ira, because, okay, we're saying all these great superlatives about Doug Martin, but if they have to be cautious, then that means he's not ready. It's either one or the other.
Well, You brought up a point that they go to Kansas City the week after, and you know it's not going to be 72 and the sunshine in Kansas City. So when do you play the kid? I mean, if it's 40 degrees in Kansas City,
now, exactly,
that's another caution flag. I think if they were 4-4, or certainly 5-3, he doesn't play this week. But Steve, let's be honest, they're 3-5.
I'm always reeling. Honest.
They're reeling, and should they go 0-5 at home? Now, Cutter's more than halfway to Lovey's infamous 0-8 in 2014. How'd that work out for the head coach down the line? And you got to win at home, Steve. So on the one side, proceed with caution. On the other side, these are desperate times in Tampa.
Now, if Doug Martin does play, let's say he gets the go-ahead to play, you think we're looking at 12 carries that put a ceiling on him, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, I do. 10 to 15 carries, no more. You're right. He's not going to be a workhorse. And let's not make believe that the 76 Steelers defense is rolling into town. These are your 2-6 Chicago Bears. They're not very good. Now, they beat Minnesota. Before you jump off,
no, I've got some interesting points there.
But Minnesota's in a tailspin. Minnesota doesn't know what's going on. I think they're going to lose again Sunday. Their offense has nothing. So don't be too carried away by beating the Vikings by 10.
Well, let me go here with you, Ira, because I found this absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The Bears are 2-6, okay? 12th-ranked defense in the NFL, getting some guys back healthy, a lot of optimism for that defense.
John Fox known for defense.
Fox known for defense. Now, I tuned into CSN Chicago online, okay? That's their big...
You leave no stone unturned.
No, of course not. CSN Chicago... And they're
still talking about the Cubs.
I'm watching all the Bears videos. I just went to the Bears page and stayed away from Joe Madden. So here, lo and behold, I click on a panel discussion video. Five guys. I don't know who the hell they are. It doesn't matter. These are, you know, players in the Chicago media. And the topic was, are the Bears have a shot at the playoffs this year? And you know how Chicago is a big market and all of these guys, all of them, very, very positive about the Bears. A few of them were even making a case, looking at their schedule and the way they've been playing, that they could run the table.
Come on.
And I am not kidding. I had to watch it twice. And you know the cynicism and the maturity of the Chicago media. Also, while this was going on, Ira, on this television program, they had a live interactive poll of fans watching. They could vote on online, asking how many more games you think the Bears win this season. The majority of the fans voting picked 7 or 8 games that they would win left in the second half.
Not finish with seven
no,
wins.
No, win 7 or 8 more games. There's legitimate wild optimism in Chicago because of the defense, because of getting healthy. And there's
What am I missing here, Steve?
I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what I'm missing.
The same panel was talking about John Fox's future in Chicago.
I don't know.
If they finish 7-9, which means they go 5-3,
sure,
that's a good season after a 2-6 start.
Yeah, after their you know, disastrous
playoffs.
Quarterback.
I don't want to be Jim Mora here, but playoffs?
Well, forget about that. Let's forget about that for a second. And part of that stemmed from, yes, they've already beaten the Lions. They've beaten Minnesota.
Steve, I do.
But forget about that.
I do the power rankings every week for the Associated Press.
Sure.
Tuesday morning, first thing I do, make my coffee and send it out so they have it nice and early because they send it out on Tuesday afternoon. Power rankings, Associated Press. It's a 12-person panel. I'm lucky enough to be on there. There's some big wigs on there.
It's not somehow luck. Luck involved.
No luck involved. Somehow, you know, and you put a comment down, you don't put a comment down. Well, anyway, I do it every week.
Sure.
Besides putting New England number one, the next easiest brainer is putting Chicago 27 or 28. That's where they are. By the way, I had the Bucks at 27 this week, so we got a little battle of the 27s, 28s. Bad football team, Steve. Bad football team. Not the worst in the league. Thank you, Cleveland. But by the way, may I point this out? You're not going to want to hear this, but the only other team in this league that doesn't have a home win, a single home win, is your Cleveland Browns. Obviously, they're winless. Is that the kind of team you want to be in the same sentence with, Steve? The Cleveland Browns?
No, no. And my point about the Bears is not that are they really a playoff team, is that they're coming here to Tampa Sunday, and the people who know the team best believe that this is a very winnable game for the Bears.
I don't argue that.
And that the Bears are ripe to win this game. And it's a dangerous situation for the Bucs.
Vegas agrees with them, apparently, Steven.
1-point favorite. Pick 'em I've seen, but 1-point favorite for the Bears.
Let's put it this way. You're not going to give the Bucs 3 points for playing at home, Steve, at this point. You know what I'm saying? You might dock the Bucs 3 points for playing at home. And that's just the way it is. They're 3-17, as our buddy Lee DeKemper loves to point out on every podcast. They've lost 17 of their last 20 home games. That's hard to do, Steve.
So hard to do. So painful. All right, Ira.
So here come the Bears.
So here come the
Jay
Bears.
Cutler.
And here come the Bears. But on our side is Jameis Winston. Now, you wrote a very nice column this week on JoeBucksFan.com. Fans can definitely find it there or go to Google, search Ira Kaufman, and you'll probably find it. You talked about development of talent. And here we are at the midway point, a good place to look at development of talent. And you're not seeing a lot of development of talent.
You know, the old Bucks used to be so good at that, Steve. By that, I mean Rondé Barber would get drafted, and then he would sit, and he would learn.
Sure.
And then when the starter gets to be 30 or 31, he gets jettisoned, and here comes Rondé Barber. He knows the system. He's been dedicated about being a better player. And I don't see it, Steve. I'm going to look at Bradley McDougal as my example. Now, a couple of years ago, he didn't look so bad, Steve. The Bucs were very high on Bradley McDougal. I'm not blaming the Bucs defensive deficiencies on Bradley McDougal, Steve, but he's out of position all the time. Miscommunications between the safeties and the corners all the time. Mike Smith talked about it today. Communication has been poor. It's got to get a lot better pre-snap and post-snap. And, by the way, communication is not the only issue that needs to be addressed. There's also something called effort, Stephen. And player development's a problem, Steve. New England's great at it. Belichick. Malcolm Butler. Look at Malcolm Butler, Steve. He wasn't a full-time starter going into that Super Bowl against Seattle. But then, on one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history, he looked at the offensive formation and he knew what was going on.
Right.
This guy was a backup. So he developed as a player. And now, Steve, Malcolm Butler is one of the better corners in the NFL.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, Ira. And you can tell me what you think. Bradley McDougal, I'm glad you brought up that example. He was a guy picked up off the street by Mark Dominic. It goes back to the Dominic regime, picked up off the street.
Showed a little talent.
This was a guy, the best of my knowledge, I don't have it in front of me. I'm confident he was not drafted. He was in the Chiefs organization. So you could make the case that McDougal has already hit his ceiling. He is who he is. He's being asked to start, and maybe he's just not a starting caliber guy.
Steve, that sounds very good on paper, but I think he was a little better player a year or two ago.
Fair enough.
You're right. Expectations shouldn't be that high for an undrafted free agent, but he showed a little bit of a knack. They were high on him, and now he's just another guy out there, and you don't notice him mostly on Sundays. And McDougal's not the only
sure.
example.
No,
Steve.
It's a good example. The rookies. Let's go to the rookies. Typically, almost everybody across the NFL will tell you players make their biggest leap from year one to year two. Donovan Smith, are we seeing him make a leap? No. He's probably where he is, maybe a hair off.
Maybe the same for Marpet, maybe.
Marpet, probably about the same. Maybe we'll give him a little bit of an edge. Quan Alexander, not the same guy he was last year, not the same playmaker. We're not seeing it.
That's right.
Through eight games.
That's right.
Jameis Winston, you gave him a C as a grade at the halfway point. Is Jameis better than he was last year? I don't think anybody can make the case he's better. So, and the development front, we're not seeing it with those four key guys. And I think across the team, we're seeing some nice development with Brate and Humphreys.
And Mike Evans.
So that tells me that the offensive, some good things going on there in those rooms. And there's been a lot of praise, deservedly so, for Todd Monken and the job he's done.
Howard Jones. Didn't improve, Steve, from last year?
But again, Division II guy,
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Golston is Golston.
Jay Hayes, I don't think Jay Hayes has made these guys better from what I'm seeing.
You know, Golston's still going to finish with four sacks, you know, sure. But he's a run plugger. You know, who do you blame, Steve? That's what the fans want to know. Is it on the coaching staff or is it on the player? Of course, Steve, most of these questions, it's always a combination. I'm going to blame the player more than the coach. I am because, and I used Mike Evans as my example in the column. He didn't, and you like that line, he didn't need Pro Football Focus to tell him that he dropped a lot of balls last year. We don't even need the number. Some sure. people think it was 14. Some people it was 16. I don't care what the number was. You and I saw him every week, yeah. and so did Buck fans. And he had unreliable hands most of the year. Some yep. of the games
yep.
were an absolute abomination. I think the Houston game was the yeah. worst.
That was the centerpiece.
That was the centerpiece. So what happens? Mike Smith rededicates himself. He knows he's got tremendous talent.
Evans.
And if he wants Winston to throw him the ball, even when he's covered, which this year is not a bad thing to do, he's got to do his part. And that means hold on to the ball. Now, he doesn't have to make spectacular one-handed catches like he made last week on the sideline and
sure.
take a lick.
Sure.
Even the touchdown catch, the second one, that was a thing yeah. of beauty.
Tremendous throw on that
ball. Great throw and shield in the body. Beautiful. But Evans looks like a different player. Dedication, Steve, look yourself in the mirror, work out hard in the offseason, and Jameis mentioned it today, this week at the podium, Steve.
Yeah, yesterday. Mm-hmm.
How these things are evident. He mentioned Humphreys and Brait to a small degree. I think that's true for Humphreys. Humphreys on track for 60 catches. I got no problem with 60 catches. You know, he's going to get four or five touchdowns.
The guy was a walk-on last yeah. year, a tryout player. You yeah. ask Humphreys, he'll tell you, when I got here, people thought I was a trainer. You know, I mean, the guy was a walk-on.
I think he's made some strides. And Brait, if Brait catches eight touchdowns, Steve, that's a heck of a season. He's not Greg Olsen. He's not Gronkowski.
No, good
Who thought he would be?
Good football player. 15th most catches by a tight end in the NFL. Four touchdowns. Leads the NFL from your tied with tight ends.
I want these other young players to take the example of Mike Evans as a shining example of how you can improve yourself as a player. And Steve, as a writer over the years, I know that you take it very much to heart. You go over your old columns, your old gradings, and you say, what can I do better? And it hasn't shown up yet, Steve, but it'll show.
You mean my writing? Or
your writing. your desire to break through the wall and be in the Peter King category.
One day,
it'll come, Steve.
One day I'll get there, Ira. One day. Now, look, I want to, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more cynical. I blame the player as well right now. I think on a season-wide view, you can look a little differently. But right now, halfway through, we all know, every Bucs fan listening to your podcast knows that if the Bucs are 4-4, everybody's celebrating the development of this team. And you know what? If Jameis hits an open receiver, Vincent Jackson, in the end zone against the Rams, we're 4-4. A couple of bounces here and there, we're 4-4. A non-penalty by Hey Jude against the Raiders, we're 4-4.
Steve, it's tough for me to cut him some slack against that Oakland.
No, I'm not cutting him any slack. I'm just saying that it's hard to judge development through a half-season prism.
Also, it doesn't help when you change coaches. It doesn't help, and you change your staff.
Yeah,
that's a vote for that continuity. That is a vote for continuity.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, of course, we're always presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. You got to visit their websites, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. You can search pre-owned, all the great lease availabilities on the season's best event. And Ed Morris
Cadillac. They'll work with you, right, Steve? They will work with you.
EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com as well. Gosh, just tremendous service. 70 years of Ed Morris. It's not even a question of will they work with you. Everything's well-priced. They're going to work with you and to suit your needs as well as, treat you right. It's really just that simple.
Don't tell me some of our listeners might have a question or two, Stephen. Don't tell me.
We definitely have questions, Ira. We definitely have questions. You know what? Before we get to the questions, I've got some here. We put it out on Twitter today. Of course, you can follow Joe Bucs Fan at Joe Bucs Fan, and you can follow the custodian of Canton himself at iKaufman, KAUFMAN 76.
Oh, by the way, I want to interject something, Stephen.
Sure.
Last week, I had the pleasure, and it turned out to be a pleasure, of being invited to speak in front of what is going to be a revived Tampa Bay Bucks fan club. I think the man's name's David Miller. He works for AAA in Brandon. 30 people showed up at a local restaurant. I regaled them with stories. my favorite Raheem anecdotes. My Gruden one went over very big with Mike Allstott. One day I'm going to tell that on this podcast, Steve, and will never be the same. But I just want you to know that they knew I was representing Joe Bucks fan, and I was received very warmly. So that is an example that our website is being recognized as the place to go for Buck News.
Now, if I was there, it would have been 48 people. You realize?
Well, they had 11 until they announced that I was going to speak.
They had 48 until you did. All right, Ira. Before we get to the reader questions, effort. Effort is a dirty word in the NFL circles.
It's a dirty word.
Especially when it's former players talking about other players. When you go to the effort card, man, that says a lot, because players don't like to question each other. There's a fraternity of sorts where, man, a lot of them look at it like you can question a guy. You don't question a guy's heart unless it's obvious.
This is not scheme. This is not talent level. This is different.
Now, we can all remember, if you remember, Ira, Deion Sanders on NFL Network, Thursday night game or something, he basically told the world that the Bucks quit. And other times we can think of...
Steve, anybody who watched the last 10 games of the Raheem regime, Steve, that was 2011.
At least the last two games.
A total lack of effort. A total lack. They quit. They did quit. And you don't like to use that word, Steve.
In those last two games, yeah, they quit. Mentally and too many guys physically as well. So, yeah, absolutely.
You don't see it that often, though. You don't.
You don't see it that often. Maybe you do, but you don't hear it that often. Now, what's troubling, though, is Mr. Derek Brooks, who I'm lucky enough to see each week before my sit-down, the JoeBucksFan.com hour with Steve Dumig on WDAE every Wednesday at 5.
And he's certainly not prone to criticize harshly, Steve. He's not.
No, Brooks is usually very tame when it comes to the Bucks. He's very measured when it comes to criticizing players. You know, it's just his style, and you know he'll speak what's on his mind, but it's very measured and understandable. Now, Brooks, yesterday, Ira, he's on with Dumig, and he just let the Bucks have it. He flat out said, and I can read you a couple of quotes.
And of course, he was at the game Thursday night for John Lynch night.
Yeah, and he watches every game. He watches the film. He makes that very clear in his show that he talks to players. He doesn't give names, but he counsels some of the players, and he's very much involved, and he talks to Rondé Barber a lot, who's also involved in the organization, gets to sit down with coaches for production meetings and preseason, so he's got a lot of ins, and of course he knows what he's looking at. Well, Brooks spoke about how John Lynch said to him, "What the heck's going on?" And they're talking about subtleties in the game. And like you said, everything you said was spot on, that he, Sapp, and Brooks, or Lynch, Sapps, and Brooks are looking at the what they see and at the
Jumbotron,
they're flummoxed. They can't believe it. Well, he said he acknowledged that. And this is Brooks saying, quote, "The small subtleties of this football team not executing some simple things as effort. Yes, there were some effort plays that I felt our defense gave up to that Atlanta offense, and it was just pure effort that did not win. It wasn't scheme. It wasn't right play versus bad defense. It was just effort or want to, and that was a little bit concerning." And he goes on.
That could be tackling, Steve. That's the first thing that I think of. Poor tackling.
Yeah,
lazy.
He went on, he gave two examples. One, he gave the example of guys not swarming to the ball, and yes, maybe we get a 3-yard tackle, but four guys could have piled on or drilled the guy instead of just getting hit once. And that stuff matters in the fourth quarter.
That's the old Buck creed.
Right.
That was a big reason they were so great for so long. So swarm to the ball.
Yeah, and Brooks was saying, tight end catches the ball. If three guys belt him and it's a 6-yard gain, it is much better than one guy belting him in a 6-yard game. It hurts him. It it makes a difference later.
And it tells him, we're going to be around the ball all day long.
And he said he saw too much lack of effort, and he called out Vernon Hargreaves by name. Now, he said, I'm not calling out Vernon specifically, but that's sort of what it was. He was naming him by name, saying that, you know what? If Julio Jones is going to beat you, which he is, you're not going to win a lot or all the time against Julio Jones. But he said, and Brooks actually said, damn it, on the air, which, you know, Brooks, he doesn't use foul language.
Right.
He said, damn it, you know, and he said, doggone it or whatever. He said a couple of things. He said, give Julio Jones your 100% and go down swinging.
And was he talking about the touchdown pass?
No, he was talking. He didn't say give specific plays. He just said that there were instances where Hargreaves was not going all out against Julio Jones and giving his best against Julio.
And then if you get beat, you get beat.
You get beat. You learn from it, and maybe knowing going all out, you get him next time when Julio Jones is maybe letting off a little bit in the fourth quarter when they got a lead. Or it was just a mentality. Brooks didn't like it. He talked about knowing what it's like to be a talented rookie and failing in 95 and getting beat, but giving it his all in 96 until they turned it around. He gave some examples of games in that era. But when you hear that, Ira, how disturbing is that a team is having effort issues?
I think it's the ultimate issue. Steve, it's the ultimate issue because schemes can be fixed. You can boost a team's talent level. But if guys aren't giving it their all, and I'm not saying it's a widespread problem this year, Steve, but if Brooks mentions it, that's good enough for me, Steve. As you mentioned, you used the word measured. That's a great word for Derek Brooks. He thinks about everything he says before the words come out of his mouth. He's not very impulsive. In that way, he's not Warren Sapp. Warren's a little bit different. Shoot from the hip. That's why they're an odd couple. You know, they were roommates all those years, and people can't figure it out because their personalities are so different. But they meshed because they had tremendous respect for each other on the field. Tremendous. And if Brooks is saying that on the radio, Steve, with thousands and thousands of listeners, he's trying to get a message across, Steve, to the players at One Buck Place. And if I'm a young player like Hargreaves, I'm listening. I'm all ears for Derek Brooks because for it to get to the point where Brooks goes public with it uses the word effort.
That's why I brought it up.
It's got to be obvious.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
And
I believe Mike Smith this morning, Steve, when he was at the podium and I was in the room, didn't necessarily disagree with Brooks's assessment. Now, we didn't talk about Hargreaves in particular, but, you know, is effort a concern with this football team? And Smith basically said at points of the Atlanta game, yes, effort was a concern.
Yeah, it's something to watch for, especially. And I say that especially since this Bucs team, Ira, lost twice to the Bears. Once to the Bears in 2014, 2015, you're back home. Third game of a three-game homestand. You just had 10 days off. If the effort can't come now in this Sunday, whew, we got issues. All right, one question for you, Ira. Comes off Twitter. I'm going to believe it's pronounced David Simant. Says, why does it seem so impossible to generate a pass rush regardless of the coach? No real outside threat since Simeon Rice.
Yeah, I'm glad he mentioned Simeon Rice because we all harken back to that, you know, double-digit Simeon Rice. And speaking of Rice, Steve, I'll throw this in there. The Glazers as a group, and Ed Glazer in particular, huge Simeon Rice fans. Don't understand why he's not getting more love from the Hall of Fame committee. Now, look, we can't talk about him until he gets in the room. That means he's got to be one of the 15 finals. We'll see what happens with Simeon Rice. There's a case to be made. I'd like to for him to be in the room, and I'd like to make the case for Simeon Rice. But that's what Buck fans are asking a simple question, Steve. Where's our Simeon Rice? Where's the next Simeon Rice? Now, I think it's probably hard to ask for a borderline Hall of Famer, Steve, to appear on our sunny shores. But we got to do better than we're doing. We got to. This pass rush is not getting there. Mike Smith's not making any excuses about it.
So
it's not good enough. And it's keeping the secondary out to dry. And every time Smith seems to blitz, they don't get there. And as he said, that now you're stripping away resources from your pass defense. And we saw guys running wide open against Oakland and Atlanta.
Now, I know Dave is looking for an answer, but when you spend 10 years and several head coaches and position coaches from ex-players like Keith Millard and Brian Cox, and now you've got Jay Hayes, who 14 years in Cincinnati with tremendous success, and many other guys, Randy Melvin, who was here, who was Bill Belichick's Super Bowl defensive line coach. He couldn't do anything
either. Steve, the simple answer is they're misfiring in the draft.
Misfiring.
And I mentioned Gaines Adams, the late Gaines Adams. God bless him. He didn't pan out. High pick. No, top five pick, Steve. Daquan Bowers, they thought they had a steal. Steve, I can remember that day in draft day talking to Raheem after the draft. You know, hey, did you grade our draft? Yeah, what'd you give us? I gave you a B. How can you give us a B? We had the steal of the draft. Daquan Bowers, we got him. a year later, I wanted to change it to a D. Bowers, Steve, you were around the guy. He didn't love football. He had no passion for football. And he was a big talker. We'd always surround him because he'd always give us good stuff. When it came to Sunday, he had nothing to say.
Yeah, and you know what? When you were around Bowers, I think, spending all that time we did around Bowers, I always said to myself, why couldn't they see through this in interviews and spending time with the guy that he just wasn't that hard, nasty defensive end personality? And on the flip side, Adrian Claiborne had that kind of edge to him, and he just schooled the crap out of Donovan Smith the other night in what's another soap opera piece to the Bucks.
But Claiborne never developed as a Buck, Steve.
But he's having a good year.
He was a 6-sack guy. Yeah, 5-6 sack.
He was hurt a lot. I don't blame them for getting rid of him. Although, considering what they had left, maybe they should have kept him because it wasn't like...
Steve, tell me if I'm flying solo on this. And if I am, I'm fine. I'm calling out Robert Ayers right now. Show me something on Sunday against the Bears. You're healthy enough to play, make an impact on Sunday, and let us know that you're around.
Yeah, fair enough. Last question, Ira. This one comes from Douglas Sean O'Connor. It says, this was a big homestand for the Bucks and fans. In your opinion, Ira, what has been the most head-scratching aspect of the Bucks play the last two games? Give me one head-scratcher of an element to the Bucks failures.
Well, there's no question. It's got to be on the defensive side of the ball. Now, I'm not saying, they're going gangbusters on offense, but I think they've been okay on offense. Winston's been okay. He's not turning the ball over left and right. Steve, they can't stop anybody. Now, let me say this quickly, and I'm not making an excuse because Mike Smith would never say this. Oakland and Atlanta in particular have very dynamic offenses.
Oh, big time.
Atlanta has the best offense in football. Maybe not on paper, but the proof's in the pudding. Total offense and scoring offense. There's nothing beyond scoring and total offense. If you're number one in both, you're doing a heck of a job.
Did you bring me any pudding, by the way?
I'd love a little chocolate pudding. And Oakland, they average 27 points a game with the game's next great quarterback, young quarterback. Sorry, Dak Prescott, and sorry, Jameis, but Derek Carr is a monster. In the making. I'm not using that as an excuse, but they played two very dynamic offenses. That's what jumped out at me in those two games, is the defense didn't show up. And if you heard Mike Smith today, he's frustrated beyond belief because, Steve, the story behind the story is Mike Smith wants to be a head coach again. How do you do that? Well, your team's got to have some success, and more specifically, your defense has to have some success for an owner of one of the 31 other teams to reach out to you and say, we want you as our head coach. Well, certainly nothing we've seen the first 8 games is going to make anybody pick up the phone and call Mike Smith.
No, he's safe right now. He's safe.
Now, the Bears are not on a level with Oakland. As much love for the Bears as you apparently have.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
But they're not on Atlanta and Oakland's level in terms of an offense.
All right, well, Ira, I want to let our listeners know that we're going to have a very special little Sunday pregame podcast.
Right. That's right.
A little Sunday morning where we'll get a little bit more into the Bears. I'll probably post that up on midnight on Sunday, wee hours of Saturday, so the various drunks and those who can't sleep before a Bucks game.
And you know what, Steve? You know what
listen?
That goes for? That goes to effort. It's all about effort. And we're putting in the effort. We're giving them a little bonus.
Little bonus. All right. Ira Kaufman podcast, of course, delivered by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com. Thank you for your contributions and your listening. If you're on, if you got an iPhone, very simple. Press podcasts, search Bucks. There you go. Subscribe to the Ira Kaufman podcast. You'll get an alert every time the podcast publishes. And you can listen, of course, right there anytime. All the ones archived as well. And that's it. So we will see you Sunday.